Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter number 13, as we continue on in our series in the book of Genesis this morning, we're going to look at a new character we have mentioned before, but the main text of the message this morning will be on this Abram's nephew Lot. We've been talking a little bit about this man Abram, who God called to a life of faith, as he calls all of us to a life of faith. It begins with salvation, and then it continues as we follow his leading and his guiding in our lives. This morning, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior, God is calling you to a life of faith, recognizing he wants you to recognize that you're a sinner, and because of your sin, you are in need of a Savior. What Jesus Christ came to this world to die for your sins. And as he died, he was buried, he rose again triumphantly, and he has paid your price for sins. And God says that if you'll call upon him, that you can be saved even here today. So this morning, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, God is calling you to a life of faith. And we've been looking at Abraham's life of faith. It began over here in the city where he came from. God calls him out of this wicked place of idolatry, and he calls him out to a place of promise. And that promises God had given him were promises to be a blessing to every city, to every nation, to every family of the earth. But we learned earlier that Abraham began this journey out of the city, and he stopped a little too early. He didn't completely obey God. And because he did not completely obey God, he wasted some years of his life. And it's important that we try not to waste years of our life. We've been given a set number of years, and God wants to use us. Well, he didn't leave his kindred as he was supposed to. And then his father dies in Haran, and then he heads over to Canaan where he was supposed to go. And he's now in Canaan. He was serving God perfectly and doing as God had called him to do. He had an altar there where he was worshiping God. And then we saw a famine comes. And as the famine comes, he becomes weak in his faith. And he looks to Egypt, and he goes down to Egypt. And we saw the disastrous situation that happened in Egypt. And then he finally gets right with God and goes back to God's will. And we learned about that last week. Abram returned to God's will. And remember, it involved separation. He had to get away from Egypt. He had to take everything out of Egypt. As we must separate from the world, it involves sanctification. It involves wanting to be in the center of God's will. He could not return to the Ur of Chaldees. He had to go back to where God wanted him to be. And we also remember it involves sacrifice. And we looked at this story last week from Abraham's perspective. This week we're going to look at Lot makes the wrong decision. Lot makes the wrong decision here this week. And we're going to see why Lot made the decision. Most of us that know anything about our Bibles, or knows at least a little bit about our Bibles, know what happens in the end with Lot. Lot loses his family. Lot loses his wife because of when God was destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, his wife turned back when she was not supposed to turn back. Then, unfortunately, it's found in the Bible, you hear Lot has children with his daughters, and that's something we're going to look at later on. But Lot completely lost his family. And you would not even think that Lot knew anything about God. But in the New Testament, God calls him just. God talks about his righteous spirit or his righteous soul. And we believe that he was a believer in God. But he say, Pastor, how could he be a believer in God and allow these things to happen in his life? And that's what we're interested in this morning. This morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we're going to try to focus on why Lot made the wrong decisions. And we're going to look at this story with this heart, with this thought in mind. How did he get there? How did he end up losing his family? And could this happen to us? Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 13. We're going to actually start in verse number 5 and go all the way down to verse number 13. In Genesis chapter 13, verse number 5. And Lot also, remember Lot is Abram's nephew, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. So Lot has possessions. Just like Abram has possessions, Lot has possessions also. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And remember last week we looked at this and we said Abram saw the importance of his testimony. Abram saw that this was becoming a strife, and there was Canaanites in the land, there was Perizzites in the land, and he did not want to damage his testimony. He had already done that in Egypt with Pharaoh and all those people in Pharaoh's court. He says, look, I understand that God wants to make me a worldwide blessing. I understand that God wants to use my family to bless this whole nation. We cannot let these little petty strifes stop us from the great call that God has on our life. And that's what we looked at last week, by not letting little things stop us from the Great Commission, not letting little petty things stop our church growth, stop our commonality that Christians have, which is Jesus Christ, and our responsibility of reaching out to the world. And that's where we come in this verse in number 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. And once again, if you were not here last week, I encourage you to get that message. It's online. You can get it CD. Just because of this thought, we need to make sure we're doing the Great Commission. We need to reach out to the world. The world needs Jesus Christ. The world needs to be saved. And in all reality, many times, because of the problems inside the church, we're not accomplishing it. We're not having the power of God in our life because there's too many things, bitterness. There's too many petty things going on. There's a world that needs Jesus Christ, and we need to learn to work together. And then we see in verse number 9, Abram makes his choice. Abram's thinking like a spiritual man here. He is reasoning as God's men. And he said, and remember, how can he reason that way? It's because we saw earlier in the chapter, he has been at the altar. He had dedicated his life. He had sacrificed. And whatever God wanted, Abram was willing to do. And he makes his offer to Lot. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And verses 10 to 13 are their key parts, because this is where Lot makes the wrong decision. Verse number 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well water everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, we could have stopped the story there, but the Holy Spirit goes one more verse. He says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer this morning. Lord, thankful for today, thankful for your word. Lord, help us to see the reason why Lot made the wrong decision. Help us apply this to our lives. Help us to understand the importance of being close to you. Lord, having our own private time, having our own altar, Lord, our devotion to you, Lord, help us to see this. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this morning, I think why Lot made a wrong decision, why Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom, why Lot ended up losing his family, why Lot was willing to go down such a bad path was because he was weak in his devotions. He was weak in his devotions. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, you think about it. This man in verse number 5, we saw he had the herds, he had the flocks, he had the tents. But nowhere in the Bible do you see him saying that he had an altar. See, Abram was different because Abram had an altar. Abram was in the center of God's will. Abram was communing with God. But nowhere in scriptures do you see God speaking to Lot. We don't even know if Lot was supposed to go with Abram. We don't even know, because God told Abram to get away from his kindred, and he was a relative there. So we're not even sure if Lot's even supposed to be there at this point in time. But we do know that God is speaking through Abraham. God is talking to Abraham. And the one thing we do not see Lot doing, we do not see Lot asking God for his opinion. We do not see Lot asking God for what he would want him to do. There is no hint that Lot had any such thing or any type of personal devotion time with God. You think about it, he has this great decision. His godly uncle, Abram, they were having a dispute. Their herdsmen were having a dispute. And in this great matter of importance to him and his family, it says he lifted up his eyes, but his eyes were not lifting up to the throne of God. His eyes were lifting up to see what was going to fulfill his fleshly desires. I'm here to contend with you. The reason why he did not go to God in prayer, the reason why he did not go and seek God for his opinion, because he did not have the right type of devotion life personally. Say, what are you getting at? I don't think Lot didn't have any quiet time. I don't think Lot had any type of devotions of just communing and spending time with God. I don't think he had any type of period of waiting on God. He had no altar. He was weak in his devotions. And I tell you, in our lives, you and I cannot imagine how horrible an end one may have because he makes this decision. And this decision is that I'm not going to have the right type of fellowship with God. They choose not to have like the devotion that they need to with God. You're saying devotion, what are you talking about? The devotion that God desires from us. As Brother Jim said, make my life a sacrifice, a type of devotion where we spend time with God, learning of God, loving God. Too often today, it seems like a very passing thing for a person to want to be a mediocre Christian. They want to just kind of slide by. It seems like they want to live off the hook. It's like they don't want to have to bear down as others do. They want to have a faith that doesn't cost them anything. They want to take the easy route without any type of commitment. You say everybody else might be pressing on for God, but I'm off the hook. I'm free, and I have made it so that way I don't have to do anything. I don't have to answer anyone. You know, sometimes I hear and I read about people that leave good churches, and they say, I just feel so free. I can do whatever I want to. But there is a great danger, and I believe that when we leave our devotions to God, our devotion to God off, there is a great danger that we have because we do not take care of our personal walk with God. Now, you say, Pastor, I don't understand what you're getting at. Well, let me remind you, we need to take stop and think. The choices that we make today are going to affect our life, our children, and our future. And if we do not personally take care of our personal walk with God, and once again, that begins with salvation. I know this story is talking about a Christian that went the wrong way, and he went the wrong way because he stopped communing with God, he stopped walking with God, he stopped seeking God, he stopped looking to God for God's help. And that might describe many people in this room, but if you do not have a personal relationship with God, there's no way you can do those things. The first thing begins when you see yourself a sinner and repent of your sins and cry out to God and say, God, save my soul because of our sin that we have in our lives. But as an individual, we must take care of our relationship with God. I remember hearing Pastor Sexton preach at a Sword of the Lord conference. He preached this message, taking care of the fire within. And he preached about the inside. He talked about the personal relationship, the fire and the passion that we must have inside for knowing God and understanding God and wanting to know him better. And then he says, so often he had taken care of all the little fires without. He was putting this fire out and this fire out and this fire out, that if he lost his passion and his fire inside, he couldn't do anything on the outside. And Christian, today we must make sure that we are working on the inside, our personal relationship with God, if we ever want to make the right choices on the outside. It all begins with how we take care of our personal fellowship and our walk with God. In Mark 7, 21 through 23, the Bible says, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. That's why our theme this year, of course our banner's not down from Kids Crusade, a heart for God. We'll have to talk to the Humberts. We want banner back. I'm just a heart for God. That's what our theme is for this year, a heart for God, because we must be able to take care of our personal walk with God, or we will never be able to make decisions, the right decisions about the things on the outside. Now, you say, Pastor, okay, give me the equation. If I spend 10 minutes with God every day, will that mean I can make great decisions? There is no equation for this. You can't say if I do this, then it's going to produce this result. It doesn't work that way. And I don't have all the answers. Spend a few days with me. You'll realize I don't know all things. But I do know that if we purposely start making choices for this world, if we purposely start making choices for the things of the world, if we make deliberate choices to neglect God and the things of God, it is going to affect adversely the future of our lives and the ones that we love. For a moment, let's think about the things that the Bible speaks of and connects with success. When we obey, when we meditate, when we pray, God says there's a connection there for success. I might not have all the answers, but I know the Bible says there are things that we should be devoted to. First, a devotion to obedience. A devotion to obedience. If we want to make the right decisions, we must have take care of our devotions. Well, what are we supposed to be devoted to? First, to obedience. Deuteronomy 11, 26 and 28 put this out plainly. He says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. A curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord." So he's saying, look, if you want the blessings of God on your life, you're going to have to be devoted to obeying God and obeying his word. There's a connection there. Lot was not successful in his family. Lot was not successful because Lot was weak in his devotions. Not only is it devoted to obedience, but also a devotion to God's word. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." How do you delight in the Bible? How do you delight in the law of the Lord? You get in it, you read it, you meditate it, you let the Holy Spirit of God teach you and show you things. And as you learn the word of God, it will become your delight. As you obey the word of God, it will become your delight. It says, "In his law doth he meditate day and night." That means that it actually becomes his way of thinking. It's what's on his mind. It's what's on his heart. And the Bible says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." The Bible is giving you a guarantee, is giving you a promise. Lot did not prosper because Lot did not have devotion to God and his word. You say, "Pastor, they didn't even, it's the book of Genesis. The Bible wasn't even there." Lot knew what he was supposed to do. Lot knew that Abraham met with God. Lot knew and saw Abraham pray and commune with God. Lot saw what happened in Egypt. Lot saw the wickedness over there. Lot saw the blessing in Canaan. Lot saw the blessing in God's will. And the Bible says after that, Psalm says, "The ungodly are not so." If we truly want to be successful in our lives, in our walk with God, we can't be weak in our devotion. We must be devoted to obedience and devoted to God's word. Joshua 1:8 even puts it this way. It combines those two points together. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." Lot didn't have success. Lot's way wasn't prosperous. It's because he was weak in his devotions. He was weak in his devotion to obedience and weak in his devotion to God's word. But he was weak also in his devotion to prayer. And that's the third thing, is devotion to prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." And that's the problem is, there's too many people that are as the hypocrites. "For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." God isn't able to reward Lot because he was weak in his devotions. He had made the wrong choice. Though there are certain places for public and corporate prayer, I believe. And I have been in some wonderful places and some wonderful prayer meetings where men and women have joined together to pray and call out to God. But there is no substitute for private petitions to our Father in heaven. The one Scottish pastor put it this way: "The power of religion and godliness lives, thrives, or dies as closet or private prayer lives. Private prayer lives, thrives, or dies. Godliness never rises to a higher pitch than when a man keeps the closet to their doors closed, seeking God." We can never carry the depth and emotion and feelings unless we have a private time with God. There's no substitute for it. And you say, how did Lot lose his family? I think it all began right here. It was weak in his devotions. He wasn't devoted to obedience. He wasn't devoted to God's word. He wasn't devoted to prayer. This morning, if you really want to have success, if you really have a desire to do something for God in your life, there is no separation here. You must have devotion to him. And I know we call devotions our private time, our time when we read our Bible, or our time when we cry out to God and talk to God. And this evening, we're actually going to look at devotions a little bit, a heart to know God. And we're going to look a little bit about how to have a good devotion time, because I think Lot made the mistake here. Lot made a mistake because he wasn't close to God. And I'm telling you, if you do not have a devotion life, a time with God, a time alone with God, time in God's Word, you are not going to be able to be a success for God. You're going to make the wrong decisions. You're going to make decisions based off your own choices. First thing, we see he was weak in his devotion. Because he was weak in his devotions, secondly, he was worldly in his desires. He was worldly in his desires. See, if you're weak in your devotions, you're going to end up with worldly desires. You know, this is an amazing story here. In verse number 11, it says, "Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other." You know, Lot, he did not ask, "Hey, is this a good place to raise my children?" You know what he said? "You know what? Is this a good place to raise my cattle?" You know, he wasn't concerned with where God would want his children at. He wasn't concerned with how his wife was going to fare. He wasn't concerned what was going to happen to him spiritually. He was well concerned with, "Hey, how much money can I make over there? The fields are green. My cattle are going to succeed there." And that's where the fleshly desire becomes, as he was worldly in his desires. He wasn't interested in what God was wanted. He was reminded of Egypt. Look what it says in verse number 12. "And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, but Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom." You know, this Sodom place has a description that's given in verse number 10. It was like the land of Egypt. You know, he had gone to Egypt with Abram. He saw the mistake that Abram had made. But when he was down in Egypt, he got used to it. He liked Egypt. He liked the world. He saw in Sodom the same things that he saw in Egypt. See, Abram got things right. Abram went back to God's will. But Lot said, "You know what? You know, I liked what happened down there. I enjoyed it down there." Well, how could Abram turn his back on the world and go to God? And how could Lot enjoy it? What's the difference? One had a devotion to God. One had spent time with God. One had an altar where they were willing to sacrifice. The other, they were weak in their devotions. Now, this is something that's hard. We can all come to church. We can all let people see us, and everybody thinks, "Hey, they're a good Christian. They're here." But the question is, when we open our Bibles up in the morning or the evenings, or when we get on our knees to pray, people don't see us then. No one's holding us accountable. But we can see the decisions that are coming out that are worldly in their desires. And as we see these worldly desires come about, we must first draw the question is, I wonder how their devotion life is. We see here, Lot lived by sight. He lived by sight. Lot made his decision based off what his eyes told him. He claimed that the land that appeared best for raising for flocks and cattle, he did not consult with the Lord. He just looked until what he saw pleased him, and that is what he chose. He gratified his flesh. He did just what Eve did. She looked at the fruit, and as she looked at the fruit, she says, "You know what? I think that's better for me than what God would have for me." He allowed his flesh to live, and that's why the Bible says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And this reference to Egypt talks about how he fell in love with Egypt, and I tell you, the more you spend time in this world and not have a devotion with God, you're going to fall in love with the things of the world, and you're going to begin to live by sight instead of living by what God would want you to, which is by faith. It's a dangerous thing to live with and fulfill the appetites of the lust of the flesh. And anytime we chose not to walk by faith and live by sight, we are fulfilling those appetites. Not only did Lot live by sight, but Lot lived for self. He lived for self. You see in verse number 11, Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. So what do you mean he chose, you know, he lived for himself? He was doing what he thought was best for him as a businessman. What's so wrong with that? Well, you think about it. Abram was the elder. Abram was the one that had the promise from God. Abram was the one that was blessed by God. If anybody had the right to choose, who would it have been? It should have been Abram. Lot should have fell on his knees and said, "God, what is it that you want me to do?" And I'm sure that God would have said, you need to stay with Abram. You need to submit to Abram. He should say, "Abram, you're the older, you're the wiser. God's promised you this land, all that I have. We'll work together somehow. I do not want to leave you because you're my source of blessing." And nope, he lived for himself. You could tell he didn't have much respect for Abram. He did not have much regard for Abram. Lot lived for one person, and that person was Lot. He was fleshly. And as we have a lack of devotion and we become worldly in our desires, we're going to begin saying, "You know what? What is my rights? What are my needs? What are my wants? What are my life? What are my way?" we're not going to be like Abram said, look, there's strife between us. Let there be no strife between me and thee, for we're brethren. We shouldn't let this happen. No, he's living for himself. And as he lives for himself, he is always interested in pleasing himself instead of pleasing the Lord. And you know what's going to happen when that happens? You're always going to be disappointed. You're always going to be fail. You're always going to be upset about something or another. You didn't get things your way. Things didn't work out the way you thought they should have. Because you didn't get your way, you throw a little pity party, and you're living for yourself, and you're going to have strife just like Abram and Lot's herdsmen did, because all they were focused on was what they wanted. And as you live for yourself, you're never going to be able to reach the world for God. Not only did he live by sight and live for self, he lived in Sodom. As the time goes along, you're going to see that Lot ends up in Sodom. And Lot left the life of a pilgrimage behind and settled down around the sun, among the sinners. He raised his family there, and he lost his family and his testimony in that place. And you say, that is not the place for a believer. Now, I do think God does call certain people that maybe are strong Christians to begin works and to reach all types of areas. I do think that God can use Christians in whatever type of area to win people. I know there's churches, good churches in places like Las Vegas and places where wickedness is known. And there are people that are trying to reach others. But Lot wasn't there. Lot didn't need to be there. Lot wasn't a strong Christian. Lot was not. He was weak in his devotions. Listen to what it says in 2 Peter 2, 7 and 9 as it talks about Lot. It says, Lot delivered just Lot. And listen to these words. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the just, unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. He was saying here in this Bible that Lot stayed with them. He got among them. And it says that his righteous soul was vexed from day to day because of their unlawful deeds. And every time we spend so much time with this world and with the wickedness that are around us and play around with the sin, yes, I know we have to live in this world, but we do not have to be of this world. I know we have to have our eyes and see the things that are going on, but our focus should be on the throne that's above all the things that are going in the world. And if we are weak in our devotions, we are going to become worldly in our desires. And as we are worldly in our desires, this precious soul of ours, the Holy Spirit of God, trying to speak and convict us, is going to be vexed day by day because we mess with sin. Lot thought he could have the world and God at the same time. Truth is, you can't. The third thing is, not only does Lot make the wrong decisions because he was weak in his devotions and worldly in his desires, but he was wrong in his decisions. That's the third point. Wrong in his decisions. This is what's going to happen. You're not going to be able to make the wise choices. You're not going to be able to live for God. You're not going to be able to have the success and prosper the way that God wants you to. And I'm not talking about prospering that you should always be rich and should always be healthy. That's that prosperity gospel that is contrary to what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul, one of the most godly men that ever lived, he always was sick. And he talked about being in nakedness and he didn't have much. He would have to go to a place and work. That prosperity gospel didn't work for the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians to ever live. I wonder how people say that and preach that today and say, well, what about all the Christians, all those apostles that lived for God? All of them were martyred except for maybe one. Well, the third thing here we see, he's wrong in his decisions. A man who is weak in his devotions and worldly in his desires will inevitably be wrong in his decisions. Lot chose all the plain of Jordan, and he separated himself from his godly uncle because he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Look at the description that's found in verse number 13 about Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lot made the wrong choice. See, this is Brian Pease's commentary on the scripture here. I think when Lot left Mesopotamia or the Ur of the Chaldees, he made a choice between heaven and hell. He made a choice to follow after God somehow, some way. But now the choice is for us. Are we going to choose God? Are we going to choose to receive his son? That's a choice between going to heaven or going to hell. Once you make that decision that you want to be a Christian, you got another choice. Am I going to choose heavenly things or earthly things? See, and when he left Mesopotamia, maybe he made the choice for heaven. But now here in this world, he makes a choice. Am I going to serve God or am I going to serve this world? And you know what he chose? When he chose Sodom, he chose the world. And here's the thought. Lot answered the first question. And as he answers the second question, he says, I'm choosing Sodom. We're not told whether or not Lot knew about Sodom's wickedness. At this moment in time, I don't think that Lot knew that Sodom was that wicked. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But you know who did know? God knew. God knew that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah here very soon. God would have never let Abram go to that area because he knows the dangers that are involved. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, see, Abram wasn't weak in his devotions. Abram did not have fleshly desires. And because of that, Abram made right choices. And Abram would have never went to that area because God would have divinely interceded and said, look, that's not the place I want you. I want you over here. Because he wasn't weak in his devotion, because he wasn't worldly in his desires, he made the right choices. But because Lot did not have that good relationship with God, because Lot was not close to God, because Lot did not have the altar, because Lot was not devoted to obedience and to his word and to prayer, you know what he did? He had a worldly desire. And when it came time to say, where should I go? What should I do? How should I raise my family? He couldn't turn to God. He had chosen the way of this world, and he wasn't willing to separate. He wasn't willing to be sanctified. He wasn't willing to sacrifice. So he made the choice based off what he thought was best, and he ended up losing his family in the end. Where does it all begin? It all begins with that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We like to say, hey, it doesn't matter how much I read my Bible. It doesn't matter how much I pray. It doesn't matter how much I obey. But this is where Lot made the mistake. He was weak in his devotions. And this should hit home to many of us today, because we like to think, man, I can be a good Christian and not read my Bible. I can be a good Christian and not spend time in prayer. It doesn't matter if I don't pray every day. But Lot faced a terrible difficulty because he chose not to have a strong devotion life. So let's boil down to this question. Last 2 weeks we learned about Abram, we learned about Lot. Because Abram had a strong devotion life, he had the right desires. He was willing to give up the land for a lot because he wanted the right desire to win people for Christ. He made the right decision. Lot weakened his devotions. He didn't pray. He didn't seek after God. Didn't ask God's help. He did what he thought was right. He made the wrong decision. What would you be more like today? Who would you say, you know what, I'm more like Abram. Hey, I'm more like Lot. And be honest with yourself. Because lying to yourself doesn't help you at all. Be honest with yourself. Do I have that strong devotion life? Is there a private altar of time where I spend time seeking God? Because it all boils down. They were both Christians. They both supposedly were just. They both supposedly had righteous souls. We don't like to think that about Lot, but it says it in the Bible. But it all began because he did not have that private time. How's your walk with God this morning? I know that the message has been intended and on purpose for those that are believers here. You cannot separate your walk with God and think that you must invest in your walk with God. You must invest in the reading of his word. You must invest in meditating in his word. You must invest in praying. You must invest in obeying, because that's what's going to prosper. That's what's going to help us make the right decision. That's what's going to send us on the right path. That is what is going to lead us into the perfect will of God. But so often, we're weak here. This is where we need to be strong. This is where we need help with. This is the place where the rubber meets the road. Am I really seeking after God? Now, once again, some of it might deal with being devoted to church, being faithful to church, hearing God's word preached. That's not a private thing as much as it is a public thing, but as God speaks to our hearts, it's very private. If God's speaking to your heart saying, hey, look, you haven't read your Bible in a long time. Hey, you haven't memorized a scripture in years. Hey, when's the last time that you were off by yourself praying to me more than 3 minutes? And if God's working, that's very, very private right now in your heart. Only you and God know that. But see, God wants you in his will. God didn't call you out of this world for you to go back and live in another portion of the world. God called you out of this world and this idea of bondage of sins and the idea of living for yourself so you could live for him. But it begins here. Do I have a strong devotion life? Remember, Lot makes the wrong decision because he was weak in his devotions and because he was worldly in desires. Why are we making wrong decisions today? God has promised to lead us, to guide us, and to direct us. And what we need to do today is say, why am I not making the right decisions? I think it goes back to something in our walk with God. Because remember what we learned about. It's not the things that are without that's causing the problems. We've learned that it's the things that are within. Remember those verses we looked at? All those wicked things. It says the things are which all these evil things come from within that defile man. You're not taking care of the inside. We need to take care of the inside if we ever plan on dealing with the outside right. This morning, are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? If you're not, come forward. Let me have somebody take the Bible and show you that you can become a Christian. But if you are saved on your way to heaven, how's your devotion life to God? Are we really truly devoted to being obedient, devoted to the Word of God, and devoted to prayer? Because if we're not, we're going to become worldly in our desires, and then we're going to become wrong in our decisions. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.